I want to talk some college basketball right now. We are joined by the head coach at Loyola University of Chicago. First season as Ramblers head coach. He spent the previous four seasons as an assistant there. Loyola is having a big year, 14-2, 5-0 in conference play, number 22 in the AP poll. They are at home Saturday. In fact, they're playing right here on the CBS Sports Network. They take on Missouri State. Drew Valentine is their head coach. He joins us. Drew, it is great to have you on the show. Drew, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Drew, it's great to have you on. I've been looking forward to it, and there's a number of things I want to talk to you about. You beat Evansville at their place on Tuesday. You've won 10 straight. You are unbeaten in conference play. You're 22 in the AP poll. How would you describe where the team and the program is right now at this point in the season?
You know, it's a great question. I think that we're in a really good spot right now. Obviously, there's so much to improve on. There's so many ways in which we feel like we can be better. We had a couple slow starts, three games in a row prior to our last game against Evansville. You know, we feel like we can get better defensively. I think our last game versus Evansville kind of showed where we think we can be at as far as the defensive team. And but I'm really loving our resilience right now. I'm loving our competitive spirit. I'm loving this guy's focus. And most importantly, their togetherness and ability to just find a way to win.
All right, so Drew, the thing is, everybody who knows you knew it was only a matter of time before you became a head coach. But in talking to a lot of coaches over the years, they always say that no matter how much you've prepared, being the head coach is still a major, major adjustment. You might move one chair over, but it might as well be like 5,000 miles. What's it been like for you?
It's just been crazy. It's been a complete whirlwind. You know, ever since, you know, April, the beginning of April when I took over the job, figuring out staff, you know, getting to know some new staff members, letting them into the culture, then, you know, trying to figure out what the roster was going to look like and with the COVID year, you know, trying to figure out which one of those, you know, COVID seniors were going to come back and then freshmen. And so there's just so many things that I've learned, so many things that I'm still trying to get better at and improve on. And I think that's been just my mindset through it all, is just, you know, take things as they come, and do your best to figure out and do them the best that you can along the way.
Drew Valentine joining us. Now, the story goes that when Porter Moser was leaving, the AD, Steve Watson, asked you if you wanted the head coaching job, and you just busted out laughing and said something to the effect of, hell yes, I want that job. What was the conversation really like, and then what did it mean to you to be named head coach of such a great, great program?
I mean, it truly was that simple. You know, it's crazy because, you know, when Coach Moser was, you know, going through some, you know, potential leaving a couple years ago, myself and Steve Watson kind of started having some conversations, not monthly, not weekly, but just a couple times during the last couple years. And I felt like I was in a position and I knew that, you know, he kind of thought highly of me enough that to possibly take over this position as head coach here at Loyola one day. And so when Coach Moser decided to you know, take the job at Oklahoma, it was really that simple. And so I'm so blessed, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful in their trust and belief in me to take over this program and to try to, you know, keep us improving and taking this thing to new heights.
Right, Drew. Not only the belief of, like, the athletic department and the AD, but the players themselves. You mentioned the seniors in a COVID year. When you were named head coach, a number of your possible super seniors told you that they would be coming back to school. What did that mean to the program and to you personally?
I mean, I think it meant a lot. I think, you know, as a coach, you know, I think it's pretty coach speak and pretty cliche to talk about relationships with your players, but I think there's no more greater validation of that for me for you know, my relationships. I know how I felt about my relationships with those guys, but for those guys to trust me with their last year and you know, have enough trust that we could be a good team and win a champ, possibly compete for winning championships this year, and help them grow as players and help them develop and improve, you know, for one extra year of college. It meant a lot to me, for all the guys that decided to come back. I mean, we, you know, returned seven of our top eight scorers, you know, obviously from a team that made a Sweet 16 last year. And you know, there's some guys that, you know, last year might not have played as much as they wanted to. And I was still here. So it's not like, somebody new was coming in and selling them a new dream. My slogan and phrase, catchphrase, I guess, that you could say when I first took the job was I wanted to stay committed to the culture that we established here at Loyola Chicago. And so it meant a lot for me for them to have trust in me and gave me a lot of confidence. And that's a huge part in which I think that why we're rolling right now is the belief and trust that they have within this culture and within this program here at Loyola.
Drew Valentine joining us. All right, to that point, culture. It's interesting because your mantra is committed to the culture. Porter Moser had a phrase, created by culture. So how would you define the differences between those two mantras?
Yeah, I just think it's, obviously they've coach and the previous assistant coaches that worked here, the previous players, I talk to those guys all the time. I was actually talking to Clayton Custer on Wednesday, and he was telling me congrats on the win, congrats on the start, and I'm like, hey, Clay, this whole thing here wouldn't be in place without the foundation that, you know, guys like you, like Milton Doyle, Dante Ingram, Marcus Towns, Andre Jackson, obviously Cam Crutwig, the culture that those guys established. And so when I took this thing over, I wanted everybody to know that it wasn't just going to be a complete changing of what we know that works here at Loyola Chicago, because, you know, Coach Moser obviously had a great formula for what works at this program, at this level, and obviously in the league and nationally as well, because we've had a lot of postseason success. And so since I've been so successful and since I've been a part of helping create that culture, I just wanted everybody to know that we were going to remain committed to those values, those standards, those championship standards that we have established here at Loyola.
Drew, so what about that? Like you obviously worked with him, and some people have even referred to you as Porter 2.0. Fact is, you're your own guy, you're your own person, you're your own coach. But what did you learn from working with Porter?
I mean, so many different things, so many different lessons, balance. I think he does and did an incredible job of, being a really good father, being a really good husband, and then also being a really good basketball coach and all the things that go into the job. I think I learned, I already had a really good start in my coaching career with Coach Tom Izzo on preparation and what it takes to be successful each and every day in a championship level program. But I think Porter just did it in another different way. So I learned more about preparation, learned more about recruiting, learned more about organization, scouting. I mean, there's so many different things that go into this job that I learned and took from him. And I'm really grateful that not only I got to learn from such a great basketball coach, but a great person.
So, Drew, you were 29 years old when you were named head coach, making you what is believed to be the youngest head coach in D1 basketball. You hit the ground running. You're connecting with players. You're connecting with recruits and more. And then just a few days after you were named head coach, your wife, Taylor, who was pregnant, was not feeling well and then went to the hospital. What happened next?
Yeah, so I was literally, my mom had just got here. She was helping me kind of redecorate the office here in the Gentile Center, and Taylor called me and was like, hey, I think you need to get here. And I was kind of being hesitant at first, and I ended up going to the hospital, and just about an hour after that, my daughter Hayden was born. And so it was a whirlwind. She stayed in the NICU for just over 13 weeks, almost 3.5 months. And so it was just like every day I'd, be working. And then she was at one hospital, then got transferred hospital. So I'd make a drive up to the hospital, then drive home. And so it was some long days and long nights and obviously a lot of emotions. She had a couple different procedures on her head. And it was just, it was a grind. But I'm lucky that I have a superstar wife who is now a superstar mom, and lucky that we have so much support from people here in the university and obviously our family and friends as well.
So true. So people understand your daughter was delivered 11 and a half weeks early, and you talked about what it was like. And Taylor said, quote, it's a lot on your mind, it's a lot on your body, but he handled it out. He handled all of it. He was just a warrior. I guarantee that you would say the same thing about her. You know, you and I talked about what you learned from Porter Moser. You mentioned Tom Izzo. What did you learn from Hayden during that time? And what did you learn about yourself?
Yeah, first and foremost, I got to, obviously people talk about it all the time. You don't know what it's like to be a parent until you are one. And so I think I've got a better feel with like our parents here at Loyola. Like when I speak to them about their young men that are a part, their sons that are a part of our program, I think I can try to sympathize with them a little bit better. I also learned just how fragile life is. How important just small victories and small milestones are, you know, like, and then you also, you know, take another lesson in, you know, pushing through adversity. You know, everything doesn't always turn out perfect. Everything doesn't always turn out the way that you kind of envision it in your head. But when things happen, you got to figure out the way to handle them the best way you can. And you got to have confidence and belief in whatever that might be, whether that's your faith, whether that's your family, whether that's your values, that things are going to work out the way that they're destined to work out. And so I learned a lot of that through my times, and I'm still learning that ever since I've been a dad.
Hey, listen, you've been through quite a bit. You've learned quite a bit. Before I let you go, you're not just a head coach. You are also a father, husband. You're also a legendary sneakerhead with a collection, Drew, that is so well known. There is a Twitter account dedicated to it. What are the highlights of your collection?
Man, I've got so many. You know, sneakers, they mean so much to me just from an emotional standpoint. I mean, the black and red Bandit Jordan 1s, those are my favorite pair of sneakers. I also love the Space Jam Jordan 11s. Those are one of my favorites. And then a couple new ones. You know, I love the Nike Dunks. You know, we've been wearing the Midas Gold Nike Dunks that are kind of like Loyola colors. The black and white, they call them the Panda Nike Dunks. I love those as well. And then I got a couple, the Amon Meniers. I'm actually going to wear those coming up here pretty soon in a game. And then I also love like the Travis Scott Cactus Jack Jordan 1 Lows. I love those as well.
I love that. So really quickly, like I understand this, but why do they represent so much to you? What do they represent to you?
You know, just like culture, you know, like the culture that I grew up in, you know, where it's kind of like the intersection of, you know, like hip hop culture, whether it's music and, you know, basketball and football. And it's just kind of like how I grew up. And then, you know, they have meaning from different times in my life, you know, whether, you know, the last shot Jordan 14s, you know, that was one of the first NBA finals I can remember. Yes, I'm, you know, that young. Michael Jordan hit his last shot. We were downstairs in my basement, and I remember running around in the basement with my dad. You know, the Jordan 3s, those are my dad's favorite pair of shoes. He always had a pair of white and cement Jordan 3s. So, like, there's just different things that connect me to times in my lives and kind of puts life in perspective for me. So I have a lot of gratitude towards sneaker culture, and it gives me like, you know, like a sense of pride when I can put on a fresh pair of kicks.
Like, I sort of want to apologize. In fact, I do want to apologize for still keeping you here. I never do interviews this long, but this is how interesting you are to me, Drew. I got to ask one last thing. You had a really nice career playing at Oakland. You had opportunities to play professionally, but you made the decision to get right into coaching. What was that decision-making process like for you at the time?
Yeah, I had a, you know, couple injuries. I had surgery on my hand. I had, a knee surgery right after my senior season. I played basically a whole season on a torn meniscus, and I had something wrong with my hand as well. So, when I was like rehabbing from those injuries, I just my body wasn't feeling up to par. And then also, I thought the opportunity that Coach Izzo, I'm so grateful for. He had given me the opportunity to be a grad assistant, and you know, I kind of looked at some of my former teammates that were, you know, at that time playing overseas, and a lot of them were trying to find a way to break into the coaching profession. And I thought at the time, like, hey, if I'm only going to go over and play overseas because my body probably won't allow me to play more than a couple years, why not just get started with what you're going to do for hopefully, you know, me now, hopefully, you know, 40, 50 years, my coaching career. And so I was fortunate to do that. And it also didn't hurt that I was going to have the opportunity to be at home with my brother, who was also a sophomore at the time at Michigan State. So there were so many different things, but I'm really grateful for that opportunity, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Coach Izzo and his trust and belief in me.
Very cool, very smart. He's the head basketball coach at Loyola University of Chicago. They've got a game coming up on Saturday right here on CBS Sports Network against Missouri State, 14-2, 5-0, number 22 in the AP poll, and a great, great story. Drew, you lived up to all the hype. Not that I'm surprised, but I knew that you'd show up and just kill it like that. Really appreciate you, Drew. Thanks so much. Let's do it again soon.
Okay. Of course, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on. Well done, Coach. Really well done. Oh, and by the way, he's 30 if you need him.